The SpaceX Dragon faces a major test on Tuesday. The mysterious X-37B is returning to land at Vandenberg. And the NTSB will close an accident investigation in public. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 3rd, 2010. Tuesday could be historic. The first SpaceX Falcon 9 demonstration launch for NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services program is scheduled for liftoff Tuesday from Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. The launch window extends from 9:03 a.m. to 12:22 p.m. Eastern Time. That same window is open on Wednesday and Thursday if needed. Known as COTS 1, the launch is the first flight of the Dragon spacecraft and the first commercial attempt to re-enter a spacecraft from orbit. This is the first of three test launches currently planned in the Falcon 9 test flight series. It's intended to prove key capabilities including launch, structural integrity, on-orbit operation, re-entry, descent, and splashdown in the Pacific. NASA established the COTS program to procure a commercial launch service to stimulate the commercial space industry, to facilitate a private industry cargo capability to the International Space Station as soon as possible, and to achieve cost-effective access to low Earth orbit to attract private customers. If all goes well with next week's demo, 2011 will see an attempt to dock an automated Dragon spacecraft with the International Space Station. Preparations for the first landing of the X-37B are underway at Vandenberg Air Force Base, and that landing could happen as soon as today. According to an Air Force news release, space professionals from the 30th Space Wing will monitor the deorbit and landing of the Air Force's first X-37B, called Orbital Test Vehicle 1, or OTV-1. While the exact landing date and time will depend on technical and weather considerations, it's expected to occur no later than this Monday. The flight of OTV-1, built by Boeing, has been shrouded in secrecy. A worldwide network of amateur skywatchers has tried to keep tabs on the mini shuttle since its launch back in April. Dennis Muhlenberg, president and CEO of Boeing Defense, Space, and Security, said at the time of the launch, quote, "The X-37B has the potential to bring to space the flexibility that unmanned systems provide warfighters and combatant commanders today," unquote. Pentagon sources have indicated there is a second X-37B in the works. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board will hold a public meeting Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern at its Washington, D.C. headquarters. The only item on the agenda is a discussion of an accident that happened August 5, 2008. A Sikorsky S-61N helicopter hit trees and terrain during climb after takeoff at an elevation of about 6,000 feet in mountainous terrain near Weaverville, California. Impact forces and a post-crash fire destroyed the helicopter, which is being operated by the U.S. Forest Service as a public flight to transport firefighters and was contracted with Carson Helicopters. 9 died, 4 were seriously injured. A live and archived webcast of the proceedings will be available on ntsb.gov. A summary of the board's final report, which will include findings, probable cause, and safety recommendations, will appear on the website shortly after the conclusion of the meeting. Up next on ANN, Mexico's airline industry enjoys restored confidence. Embry-Riddle continues fighting a whistleblower. And Louisiana's ELT law may violate federal authority. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has announced that following its review last month, Mexico's Civil Aviation Authority qualifies for an upgrade to Category 1, meaning it's in compliance with international safety standards set by ICAO. FAA says that Mexico has requested the U.S. agency's continued help in maintaining that designation. While it was classified in Category 2, Mexico could maintain existing airline service to the U.S., but not initiate any new routes. Category 1 will allow it to add flights and routes to take advantage of what hopefully will be a recovering economy. The rating has nothing to do with your safety once you're on the ground in Mexico. Embry-Riddle is asking the courts to vacate an award to a whistleblower, saying some jurors were not qualified, that they discussed the case outside the courtroom, and that the portion of the award for emotional distress was too high. This all has to do with John Brian Loshko, who graduated with honors from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in 1997. He returned to serve for about 4 months as the head of an applied research engineering program at the Daytona campus. He was fired, he says, because he complained to superiors about work safety, software copyright, and hangar access. The jury agreed. The Daytona News-Journal reports that attorney Gregory Snell, who represented the school in the case, wants a new trial after the jury awarded the plaintiff $48,000 in back wages and $240,000 in other compensation. Two aviation companies, which transport workers to and from offshore oil rigs, say a new Louisiana law requiring personal ELTs for passengers is intrusive and attempts to supersede the FAA. Bristow and PHI have filed a federal lawsuit against the law, which was passed in response to an accident in which an offshore worker was missing for 4 days after the helicopter he was on board went down. The worker did not survive the accident. The state representative who sponsored the law said personal emergency locators would have shortened the search process and was requested by the worker's family and others. It was passed in the last session of the legislature and goes into effect in January. The Baton Rouge, Louisiana newspaper The Advocate reports that PHI and Bristow hold in their lawsuit that the state is encroaching on federal aviation regulations and that any new regulations should be developed within that process. PHI Chief Administrative Officer Richard Rovinelli told the paper that while the company recognizes that the state was trying to do the right thing, safety regulations for aircraft are the purview of the FAA. Still ahead, Sikorsky invests in UAV know-how. A new electronic training series for instrument pilots debuts. And the TSA hassles a mom who's also a lawyer. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. If you still think we won't see the skies full of UAVs in the near future, watch where the money's being invested. Sikorsky Innovations this week announced an equity investment in Adaptive Flight, a Georgia company involved in the manufacture of avionic system solutions for small and medium-sized UAVs. The investment, in part, will be directed toward developing technologies that will allow piloted and unpiloted aircraft to work together. Sikorsky says the investment signals another step forward in the company's ongoing work in autonomy and optionally piloted aircraft technology. The effort is currently focused on developing optionally piloted technology for the Black Hawk. Mark Cherry, Sikorsky Vice President of Corporate Strategy and Synergy, commented, quote, "Along with our other recent technology investments, Adaptive Flight helps us execute our strategy of demonstrating differentiating technologies. The Sikorsky strategy and business development team will continue to seek out and close on opportunities with small, innovative businesses," unquote. A new training series specifically developed for instrument pilots has been introduced by pilotworkshops.com. It provides online, scenario-based training and is designed to improve technique, knowledge, and overall safety in IFR. The series qualifies for FAA Wings credit, and online or CD formats are available. Each month, a new instrument flying topic is explored in depth. The pilot is placed in a challenging IFR scenario. You're provided with relevant resources such as airport charts, weather, equipment, and other variables, and have to choose a course of action via online survey. You can compare your choice to what other pilots have chosen. The scenario approach requires critical thinking that improves retention, resulting in more effective training. Find more details in the text version of this story, dated December 2nd, at aero-news.net. And finally today, a mother in a security line at Phoenix Airport was reportedly placed in a specialty screening area by TSA agents when she objected to allowing breast milk she was carrying to be x-rayed. The specialty screening area is a glassed-in enclosure in view of other passengers clearing security. Stacy Amato told the blog Prison Planet that she was returning to her home in Los Angeles when she was stopped by TSA. She was carrying a printed copy of TSA's guidelines that expressly point out that, quote, mothers flying with and now without their child be permitted to bring breast milk in quantities greater than 3 ounces, as long as it is declared for inspection at the security checkpoint, unquote. Amato says she was threatened with arrest by a Phoenix police officer, and that when she presented a TSA supervisor with a copy of the agency's own policy identifying breast milk as a medical liquid, she was told, quote, well, not today, unquote. She says she was required to redistribute the liquid into 8 different containers, have it tested for explosives residue, then missed her flight as a result. Southwest booked her on the next available flight to L.A. Stacy says she was successful in getting security video of the incident, but apparently it was heavily edited. TSA may have picked the wrong woman to mess with. Stacy's also an attorney. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Darren Tillman of Powerflow Systems tells us how his company's tuned exhaust systems can both make more horsepower and reduce fuel burn. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.